While we're waiting for this to load, I just want to say I realize I have probably too much information, although I've tried to trim down, unfortunately, all of the beautiful qualitative data that we've gathered so far, but this is preliminary pilot data, so everything seems very critical right now, but may very well not be. But I'm going to try and get through this expediently, even though it's nice to have hopefully a couple extra minutes. I just want to acknowledge really quickly our partners at the Center for Sexual Health Promotion and also at the IU School of Medicine, particularly my co-principal investigator, Dr. Barbara Vanderpool, and our mentor, Dennis Fortenberry. So because this is an HIV testing session, I'm actually going to go through a little bit of the background in terms of diagnostics for other STIs, and then go look particularly at rectal sexually transmitted infections, and just a note or two on sexual health care in general and among men in particular. And then I'll jump into some of the preliminary results from our pilot study. So right off the bat, it's important to make a distinction between mucosal infections, which detect actual organisms or DNA of the organisms, including chlamydia, gonorrhea, trichomonas, and HPV, as opposed to blood-borne infections that test for antibodies to an organism or DNA in the blood, including syphilis, HSV, hepatitis, and HIV. And to note that the mucosal infections can manifest themselves in multiple places around the body, most notably the vagina, or urethra, actually, the nose and throat, and also the rectum. So why focus on the rectum? Basically, for both men and women, chlamydia and gonorrhea can occur in the rectal area, not even as exclusively as a result of sexual behavior, although that's the most common way of transmitting these infections, but it's possible having an infection in the urethral area and, you know, while wiping or doing other things down there, actually infecting oneself in the rectal area without actually having had anal sexual activity. There's some question about whether or not this can occur with trichomonas as well. And we also know, of course, HIV, HSV, all of the viruses, there's an enhanced exposure to blood-borne pathogens because of these infections. So in terms of sexual health care, what we're really shooting for here are frequent STI and diagnostic screenings. And typically, these have taken the form of clinical exams. And for women in particularly who, you know, at least women who have access and opportunity for a regular annual sort of gynecological exam, this is fairly routine. But for men, we don't really have the same sort of equivalent. And so one of our goals and sort of the ongoing larger trajectory of this research is to figure out how to get men more integrated into regular routine sexual health care checkups, basically. And the locus of control is really important because there have been several studies that have been done on self-obtained vaginal swabs and using those and feasibility and acceptability of doing those. But there have been very few studies done in terms of self-obtained rectal swabs. And, you know, with the barriers that actually going to a clinic presents and the stigma associated with that, et cetera, which I'll get into with some of these data, I think there's a need to start exploring opportunities and thinking outside the box in terms of regular testing. So the aim of our study was to look at the feasibility and acceptability of rectal STI self-sampling in non-clinical settings. We started this project. It was funded by an initiative at Indiana University from the dean of our school. It was last spring. It was approved by our medical IRB, and we did mixed method data collection with both biomarker data in terms of the rectal samples, and then also a very structured interview. And the quantitative data that primarily that I'm going to present to you today are descriptive in nature. We haven't even begun to really scratch the surface with making bivariate or multivariate types of analyses. And the qualitative data, unfortunately, much of which I trimmed out for time's sake, were analyzed using standard qualitative methods and then sort of re-quantifying some of the qualitative data based on themes. So we wanted to look, you know, at a population who might be most impacted by rectal sexually transmitted infections, and so we chose to focus on men who have sex with men. And the initial screening eligibility included that they were a male, 18 years or older, that they were sexually active within the past 6 months, although we didn't require them to be the receptive partner in anal sexual activity. You will see that most of them were experienced, at least. We targeted an ethnically diverse sample with equal numbers of black and white participants, about 30 of each, and then a remainder of Latinos, not having antibiotics in the past 3 weeks and not having other ongoing conditions which could complicate the text result or the test results in terms of the anal area or rectal area. So our process was, first of all, to do an eligibility screening and informed consent. And for the men who chose to take part in the study, we then did a series of pre-sampling questions. And then the men were offered, I wish I would have brought one with me because I was asked, what does a rectal self-sample device look like? It's basically a small portable tube with a large, looks like a long Q-tip, which the men can go and they're given instructions. And we evaluated the instructions as well, but I didn't include data on that in this. And swab themselves and then bring that back to us. And then we had some post-sampling questions for them about their experience with collecting their own samples. And I'll tell you about where we did this in the venues and how things were different by venues in a moment too. So we had 75 men total. The mean age was 32 years old. Most of the men identified as gay, although we did have about 14 bisexually identified men. And all of them, as was a selection criterion, had been sexually active with a male partner in the past 6 months. So again, we had nearly equal numbers of black and white participants, a smaller number of Hispanic participants, and then also one Dominican participant. In terms of the recruitment venues, we pilot tested and started at the Indiana University STD clinic and had 4 participants there. But then we were very clear that we wanted to try and recruit from a diverse group of venues that were either CBOs, sexual venues where MSM congregate for social or sexual purposes, and just social venues. And so Brothers United, for example, is an African-American CBO serving MSM in Indianapolis, and sort of the parallel to that for white men was the Damien Center. Greg's Bar is a primarily white bar. The 10 Bar is almost exclusively black. The Bathhouse, we had sort of a mixed batch of men, and then CBO servicing Hispanic and Latino men. So, and right off the bat, when we started piloting, one of the issues with which we became aware was not everyone knew where their rectum was. So, we had to basically clarify in the beginning of the interview, and this is for those of you who will continue to do this work in the future, very good to do up front, making clear that did you know that your rectum, i.e. butthole, asshole, whatever you want to call it down there, can become infected with STIs. And then throughout the course of that interview, we continue to use the word, you know, asshole or whatever they were most comfortable with. And the majority of them did know that. And interestingly, the majority of the men also knew that if you were infected, that a urine sample would not detect it. Most of the men, however, did not see themselves at being risk of having been exposed to an STI that could infect the rectum. But in terms of rectal experience, we see here most men had had fingers, tongues, penises, a small number of toys. 8 men who said other, one of them just summed it up kind of nicely and said, I had some wild times. So, you know, all but 5 of the participants, when you look across the groups, had had something in their rectal area during sex. And had they ever been tested for STI, it was encouraging to see that the majority of the men, vast majority of the men had, but that the much smaller number of men had ever had their rectum tested in the past. And would they be willing to provide a rectal sample for us there at that night in the venue? Only 7 men turned us down, and they gave some good reasons why in terms of privacy, comfortability, et cetera. But the majority of the men were willing to provide the sample. So after sampling, the majority of the men also, we gave them the option to have the swab tested or not tested, and the majority said to test it. And among those who had it tested, we had about 7% prevalence of chlamydia, and about 3.5% in terms of gonorrhea, which are higher than the sort of average rates of chlamydia and gonorrhea in the MSM community in just general samples. And this is really interesting in terms of calling back for results. Only 10 of the men called back for results, and we'll see at the end, although the vast majority of them reported that would be the way they would like to find out about their results, only the minority called back for results. So encouragingly, all the men who had tested themselves said they would be tested for rectal STIs at some point in the future. And interestingly, the vast majority of the men, after they had gone through the experience, said they would like to collect their own samples. But there was still a group here who were very steadfast in saying they would rather have a clinician doing it. So we're not saying this is going to eradicate the clinic by any means, and they had some very valid reasons for doing this, and I'll get to those in a second. And only two men said they had no preference. And then we asked men, next time you self-test, where would you choose to do this? Most men said any private space. Interestingly, men here said they felt comfortable they would be more comfortable in a clinical setting, but would like to collect their own samples within that setting. Many of them said they didn't know how to start that conversation with their healthcare provider, particularly because their healthcare provider might not know that they're having anal sex. And might not ask, I think, which is even more important, anywhere in a clinic or at home. Would you tell your friends that this type of testing is available? The vast majority of the men said yes, and they had some very colorful quotes about why they thought it was important for MSM in particular, but for everybody who was sexually active to get tested, and particularly men who were having anal sex. So when we talked about the advantages and the disadvantages, sorry, I've got to go back one. In terms of the advantages, men gave some really nice quotes, actually, about how the testing itself was very easy. It was convenient. You know, it wasn't something that they necessarily would have liked to do. Some of them likened it to getting, you know, a routine dental exam or getting a teeth pulled. One of them even said, you know, I wasn't expecting a bed of roses, but that's okay. You know, this is something that you have to do, and it's quick. It's easy. I don't have to, you know, wait for an appointment like in a clinic. I don't have to be seen in a clinic, which was another big theme. It's just much more convenient. It was comfortable for many of the men. All of the places where men sampled themselves they were self-sampled in restrooms, although in some of the venues, restrooms did not have doors on them for certain reasons, which some of you can probably imagine, which, you know, sort of regulation of sexual behavior and desire. So most of the men felt comfortable self-sampling, regardless of where they were doing it, and most of them felt that a bathroom stall or wherever they were collecting the sample was private enough. And in terms of the disadvantages, though, 18 of the men did say it wasn't private enough in a public or semi-public venue. And then a strong theme here, and this was particularly came out with the Latino participants who were. We have mostly a Mexican migrant population in the Indianapolis area, many of whom are new to the area, and they had never heard of anything like this and never seen anything like this, and it was very strong among those participants that this was something a doctor should do. A doctor is more accurate, a doctor is more reliable. They wouldn't feel comfortable doing it themselves. And then a few men said that it wasn't sterile too. And then in the future, in terms of the combination of choices that we gave people, in self versus clinician in any setting, what would be ideal? The majority of the men said collecting their own sample at home, collecting it itself in a clinic or in any bathroom at the bathhouse at a CBO, and then also a clinician in a clinic, a clinician at a CBO, and a few men again had no preference. And then again, this is something I think that was a little perplexing for us, although this is across the board we struggle with in terms of notifying individuals. I think we've seen great examples today in terms of people who show up late or don't show up at all for their test results. The largest number of men said they would like to find out by phone, but then remember, only 10 of the men actually called back for their test results in this study. 18 in person, then a few by mail, email, text messages. Some guys had really neat and innovative ideas about sort of a Netflix system where you could be mailed, you know, it's a little test kit, you could do it, you could mail it back in. There are areas of the country where things like this are actually happening, so really nice ideas. I think we saw that clinics and clinicians were often reported as barriers to rectal self-screening in terms of access, being able to go to the clinic or get to the clinic, in terms of the stigma associated with being in a clinic, and in terms of disclosing to their healthcare providers their sexual behaviors, particularly having anal sex. Self-sampling for rectal STIs assisted the men with overcoming these barriers that were associated with clinical screening. Self-sampling for rectal STI also increased their own autonomy. They said they would be more likely to do it if they had the option to do it, or if they knew of the option to do it. Some of the men remained more comfortable with the role of the clinician, which I think is really important too in collecting samples. And then participants reported numerous issues associated with both the acceptability and comfortability involved with self-sampling of rectal STI. So I just want to acknowledge our financial support mechanism, again, Dr. Fortenberry at the IU School of Medicine, my colleagues, and Joshua Rosenberger, who was our research assistant who did all of the interviews and such at, you know, very late hours at 3 o'clock in the morning in the bathhouse with, you know, sirens blaring and all of those types of things. And then also Eric Amick, who helped me to transcribe the interviews. And I just want to close with one quote, which I think sums this up kind of nicely. A participant, an African-American participant recruited at a bar said, "I would never have done it. I never thought about it. I never questioned my rectum at all. You know, if I went to get tested, I would get tested for HIV, gonorrhea, but I would never ask for a rectal test because it looks like nothing's wrong. Nothing feels like it's wrong. But if there's something wrong, I would never know. It's not something, you know, it's kind of taboo." And hopefully what's going to happen now as a result of this is that we're looking at ways to set up subsequent interventions where we're going to take the pilot data and based on this, find ways of seeing, you know, at which point, which spots men are most comfortable with accessing the self-sampling kits, and then which ways are most effective in terms of them to dropping them off or getting them to the clinic and then getting them the results, so that we can help to overcome some of this stigma and taboo conversations around sexual behaviors, which really shouldn't be so taboo. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? I see.
I don't have those figures with me, but it's definitely much smaller than the overall just the MSM group. But we are able to recruit more than you might imagine in Long Beach. So.
Was your total sample size 2597?
It was 2398, so just under 2400. But if you want to send me an email, I'll give you my email address afterwards, and I'd be happy to let you know.
The second question has to do with your results.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they were combined. I think that my slide didn't reflect them correctly, but send me an email and I'll get you that information.